Okay, good deal. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Always like to make a grand entrance, right? First of all, I want to say, Gary asked me to announce, last week at the end of service, we had a special collection for a relative of Doug and Carrie's who had a house fire. They completely lost everything. And due to your all's generosity, $1,000 was able to be sent to them. So we're really pleased about that. Thank you so much for giving. This family had just finished their house. It went up in flames, and they lost everything. So very, very sad situation. Thankfully, they do have insurance, but you know that takes a while. So glad we could help with that. Also, want to announce that not this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night, September 13th, we're starting a new curriculum for our kids' classes on Wednesday nights. And we're going to do a few different things. There's going to be some activities we'll be doing with all the ages together, some activities with the different age groups. This will also be the time, as we get closer to the holidays, that we'll be rehearsing and getting ready for a Thanksgiving play, a Christmas play. So if you want your kids to be part of that, have them here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. The classes are going to be 2 through 5 year olds will be Tammy Hanley. 1st through 3rd grade will be Will and Michelle Gill. 4th through 6th grade will be Gabe and Aaron McKinney. And teens, you're stuck with Felindy and me, so sorry about that. But that'll be that will be starting September 13th. So have your kids here. It'll be a good time for them to get to learn about God's Word, to get to grow together as a group. We have a lot of kids here, and we're very blessed that way. So September 13th. So this morning, we're going to continue our sermon series on looking at our purpose that we see in the book of Mark. We've talked about purpose all through 2017. That's been our theme. But we started a couple weeks ago looking at the book of Mark. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. It's a very clear, simple, and short book. Mark gets down to business. He shows us Jesus on the move, and he's moving toward his purpose very quickly. His purpose was to be the sacrifice for our sins. Now, it's our job to live out our lives with a purpose that God has given us. That purpose is to imitate, to follow what Jesus did, to follow his example. But we can't be the sacrifice for people's sins. But we all can be that example of servant. And we can all serve in the ways we see Jesus living his life. It's interesting to think what people make priorities in their lives. Have you ever thought about that? What are priorities in your life? What are your priorities? What is your number one top priority? Well, for college students, their top priority is probably to find a job, right? For those of you with kids who are in college, you can amen that this morning, right? Your job as a college student is you want to get out and you want to get a job. You want to start into the workforce. That's why you're doing what you're doing. Well, the average college student is also interested in social media, Facebook, Snapchat, text message. What happens when the job market and social media collide? Well, I read an article on the internet, Ron, so it has to be true, right? Article on the internet that Cisco Technologies published. And they said that during the interview process, 2/3 of college students ask their potential employer what their policy is regarding social media. And two out of every five say that they would accept a lower-paying job with flexibility regarding social media than a higher-paying job that bans social media use. 1 out of every 3 college students believes that the internet is as important as air, water, food, and shelter. It's interesting to think what priorities are to people. What are your priorities? What's my priority? Well, today we're looking at Mark chapter 2. And Mark chapter 2 gives us an interesting look on the priorities of Jesus Christ. And it helps us think as we come up with our set of priorities to help fulfill our purpose God has given us. And we see right off the bat in Mark chapter 2, Jesus has the priority to forgive sins. His priority is to forgive sins. Mark chapter 2, we're going to read the first 5 verses here. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want to tell you about a man named Kevin. Kevin had shingles. So he went to his doctor's office. Do y'all always get the attention you want when you go to the doctor's office? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do, but oftentimes maybe we feel like we don't. Well, Kevin goes to the doctor's office, and he walks up to the receptionist. She says, "What do you have?" Kevin says, "I have shingles." She said, "Well, give me your name and address and have a seat." So he does that. He goes and sits down, and about 15 or 20 minutes later, the nurse's aide comes out, and she gets Kevin, and she takes him to the back, and she says, "What do you have, Kevin?" And he says, "I've got shingles." She says, "Okay." She takes his weight and his height and blood pressure and puts him in the little exam room. I hate that little exam room. You're in there forever, right? So she puts him in the little exam room, and the nurse comes in. And the nurse says, "What do you have?" And Kevin says, "I have shingles." She says, "Okay." She draws his blood, and she sets a few tests she wants to do on him, and she tells him to take his clothes off and put on that paper gown and just to sit there. So Kevin sits in that paper gown for about a half hour, and the doctor comes in. The doctor comes in, and he says, "Kevin, what do you have?" And Kevin said, "I have shingles." The doctor looks at Kevin. He says, "Where?" Kevin says, "Outside on my truck. I need to know where to unload them." Sometimes we don't always expect what's coming, do we? Kevin didn't expect what was going to happen at the doctor's office. The staff and the doctor couldn't expect what Kevin was really there for. Well, Jesus in Mark chapter 2 is in Capernaum. Mark says he's coming home. And the people want to hear him. They want to hear him so bad they've crowded into this house, and that you can't even get around the door to hear because everything's so crowded. Mark tells us, though, what's going on inside that house. You know, Mark doesn't say that this is the best-looking house or the most attractive neighborhood. He doesn't say that the best song service is going on or that this is the most uplifting worship service. No, the crowd was gathered that day in that house for one reason. Mark says Jesus preached the word to them. That's why they were there. And these five guys come along. And one of them is a paralytic. We don't know why, but we just know he couldn't walk. So he has four friends who are carrying him there on a stretcher. All five of them believe, they must believe, that Jesus can do something to help this guy. But they get to the house, and they can't get in. They can't even get near the door. Have y'all ever carried somebody on a stretcher? Not easy work. Will has, I know. Not always easy work. Carrying someone on a stretcher is hard. And then when you get into a crowd, carrying somebody on a stretcher in a crowd would be even harder. And so they get there, and they can't get through. And the crowd temporarily keeps these men out. No one was even polite enough to get out of their way. Do you find that interesting? That's kind of sad, really. But they weren't deterred. They didn't give up. They go up to the top of the house. They calculate where Jesus must be inside that house, and they start digging through the roof. Imagine what that looks like inside the house. There Jesus is, he's preaching, maybe he's really into it, his second or third point of his sermon, and all of a sudden dirt starts falling in on his head. And dust and debris, stuff's coming down. And then all of a sudden, this man on a mat is lowered down before Jesus. Here lies this man who can't even sit up. He's paralyzed. And he looks into the eyes of Jesus. Obstacle over obstacle has been overcome for this man. He's there. He's finally where he needs to be for help. Surely Jesus is going to heal him. And Jesus, the King of Kings, God himself, looks into the eyes of this man. And he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What? Your sins are forgiven? That's not what they expected him to say. That's not why there's a hole in the roof. That's not why they came there and carried him on a stretcher. How is that going to help someone who can't walk? It's like Kevin at the doctor's office. What happened is not what anyone expected. I wouldn't expect Jesus, and the people there in that house certainly wouldn't expect Jesus to look at a paralyzed man who'd been lowered before him and say, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We wouldn't expect that. Which goes to shows me, I have a long way to go when it comes to having the same priorities Jesus has. This story is a reminder to them and a reminder to all of us that we have to step back and look at things to see what's truly important, what's truly eternal, what truly matters. What should be the church's priority today? What should be the priority of us as individual Christians? Do we have the right priorities in living out our life's purpose? You see, Jesus looks at this man. He looks at this man's friends. And he knows they have faith. They've shown that through their actions. And he pronounces this man's sins forgiven. Jesus was impressed by the man's faith. I'm sure he was impressed by the faith of the men who carried him there that day as well. But when we want the same priorities in our life as we see Jesus having, we have to realize our first priority is to spread the word, to spread the message that Jesus wants to cleanse this world from sin. He wants to cleanse us from sins. It's like what Charlie read in Colossians chapter 1. Paul says his goal was to present every person complete in Christ. That means it's our job, our purpose, to bring people to Jesus, to help them come to know him so that he can cleanse them from their sins, to help each other grow up in Jesus so that one day when we stand before God, we stand there finished and complete in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Jesus' number one priority was to forgive the souls of men. That was his priority here. But we also see Jesus has the priority to show that he knows the hearts of men and women. He knows our hearts. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, the continuation of what we've read here. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Jesus had the priority to show that he knows the hearts of men. Verse 6 tells us they were thinking to themselves. They didn't verbalize what was going on here. They weren't talking out loud, but Jesus knew, and he says, "Why are you thinking these things?" How does that make you feel? Probably shut me up right there. The first thing we take away here is that Jesus, first of all, knows. Jesus knows every thought your mind forms. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows if you're thinking, "I wish he'd wrap this up, I'm hungry." It happens. But it's comforting to know, it's scary too, but it is comforting to know that Jesus, God, knows our thoughts. There was a little boy who was assigned to watch over the sheep one Sunday morning. It's his job to make sure they didn't run away. And the little boy's out in the field watching over the sheep on Sunday morning, and he sees a bunch of people walking across the fields going into the church for church service. And he thinks to himself, "You know, I'd really like to pray to God, but I don't know what to say. I don't really know how to pray." So he gets down on his knees, and he begins to say the things he does know, his ABCs. He kneels down on the ground, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And a man walks by on his way to church, and he says, "What are you doing?" And the little boy says, "Well, I wanted to pray to God, so I'm praying." The man says, "Yeah, but you're just saying your ABCs." The little boy said, "Well, I didn't know what to say, but I wanted to talk to God, and I know God cares about me, so I thought if I gave him the letters, he would spell what it is that I need." And we can laugh about that, but that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us, church. The Spirit understands what you're going through right now. The Spirit understands those things you're struggling with that you've never told anybody about. Those things maybe you can't even put into words. And it's wonderful to know we have a God who knows, a God who cares about our struggles, a God who doesn't forget, talked about forgetfulness, God doesn't forget the things we go through. He understands. But it's also sobering because he knows every thought that enters our minds. Jesus knew the hearts of these men there in that house that day. But he goes a step beyond just knowing. Jesus cares about their hearts. These teachers of the law, these Pharisees, Jesus answered them their doubts with evidence. We can't read people's minds today, right? There's people who claim they can. I tell you, I cannot. But we don't have to be able to read people's minds. Because if we just observe a little bit and listen, people are going to tell us or show us what they're thinking through their actions, through the things they do or don't do. And the world is asking a lot of hard questions right now. People are desperate, maybe at the end of their rope. People ask questions like, why should I care if I'm a good parent? Why should I work on my marriage? Why should I think there's more to this life than just what I can accumulate? Is there anything out there that's true? Or anything out there that's right? Is there anyone who actually loves me? Is there anyone out there who cares about me even though I fail? Can I trust anybody? The world says, give me a good reason for looking out for someone other than myself. When the case of these skeptics, these Pharisees in that house that day, there was a need for hard evidence. They needed a case to be made for Jesus' claims. We need people to know, church, that Jesus cares about their hearts. We need people to know that Jesus has a priority in that because he cares. And Jesus also has the priority to show his authority over sin and sickness. Mark chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Wouldn't you love to have been in that house that day? What an awesome thing to see. Well, Mark tells us about four times that Jesus has a run-in with these Pharisees, and this is one of those accounts. Now, according to Jewish tradition, only God could forgive sins, and since God himself had said this, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, believed that not even the Messiah had the ability to forgive sins. So they asked, who but God alone can forgive sins? Saying your sins are forgiven was the same thing as saying, I am God. And that's what Jesus said. No man has the authority to forgive sins. We know that, right? No human has the ability to send someone to heaven or hell. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Not us. We don't decide if a person goes to heaven or hell. We are in sales, not management. We are witnesses, not the judge. Our job is to point out the truth to people. Our job is to warn them where God's word warns us. Our job is to give them hope and assurance where God gives us that hope and assurance. Only God forgives or condemns. Amen? Jesus asserted he was God. And he used this miracle to back up what he said. He showed in that house that day his authority. Here's something I think that we can take away from this story. If Jesus thought it was important to show his authority while he was there in that house, shouldn't those of us who carry on his work today have that priority to show who he is, to tell people Jesus is God, he is exactly who he claimed to be? Now, we can't raise people from the dead. We don't perform miracles these ways. But we have something they didn't have back then. We have 2,000 years of history. 2,000 years of the church growing in the face of persecution. We have 2,000 years of people, history of people, empowered by God's Spirit to do things they couldn't do on their own. We have 2,000 years of history that verifies who Jesus is and who he claimed to be. The evidence Jesus offers is evidence that reaches our hearts, our minds, and our eyes. You see, we find the evidence that Jesus is who he says he is in his word. But we also find it in the stories of every person he's changed. We find evidence that Jesus is who he says he is in your story, Sandy, And your story, Ed. And your story, Danny. The evidence that Jesus is who he says he is can be found in the lives he's changed, the lives he's transformed, the lives he saved. Are we telling our story to the world? Are we busy showing people that Jesus is who he says he is? And that he has authority over everything you face, Laura. Every struggle you go through, Jared. You see, Jesus had authority over every problem in that house in Capernaum that day, including sin. He had the ability to know the hearts of the men and women there. He knew that there were people of great faith, as well as people there who were skeptical. But in the midst of it all, one priority stands out: the forgiveness of sins. He had the power to know the hearts, and he had the purpose to show his authority over sin and sickness. You know, Jesus hasn't changed. He still has those same powers and priorities today. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to be his follower. He wants you to walk in the light as you live in this world. Yeah, you'll face struggles. Things won't be fair. Things won't be right. Things will be bad sometimes. He promises us that. But you know what else he promises us? He promises us, I'm never going to leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. I'm going to be right there with you. And you know what else he promises us? He makes us the promise that when this life's over, we have a home in heaven forever. Doesn't matter what this world does to us. And this world does some bad things. Some of us have it really good right now. Some of us are really struggling. Those roles will reverse as time goes on. We have good times and bad times. But if you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the promise and the hope of a home in heaven. Have you made that decision? Come to Jesus this morning. Make his priorities your priorities. Make his purpose your purpose. Make your final destination a home in heaven. If there's anyone here who has a need this morning, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.